Hello and welcome in to episode 47 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. This episode, the blather is about Mr. Snow. Most of the sections are back to normal and I have a long promised review of Luca.yarn. I've got what the collective have been up to and the drams are in, featuring the special guests of Sarah and Al with a Glen Oren. All the links are in the show notes that come from where you download this from, so relax, get your links later on. And sponsoring this by my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. Get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Mr. Snow, can you remember last year I had the Mr. Moon theme? Well, we stopped because it was Mr. Snow next. And it seems now appropriate it's January to mention number 7 in the Mr. Main series, so here's my resident Mr. Main expert, Sandy, to tell you all about Mr. Snow.
Well, Mummy, Mr. Snow is a snowman. Santa brought him to life, and he was very good.
Thank you, Sandy. He asked me a wee while ago about the Mr. Main in the podcast, and well, I didn't want to mention the S word in case we got some. But then we had some, and it wasn't my fault. Although, well, maybe, just maybe it might have been. Because I recently read Wintersmith by Sir Terry Pratchett, and it's part of the Discworld series and is a fantasy novel. He's a master at the observational comedy. He takes things from real life and he makes it, to me, hilarious. Wintersmith is part 2 of 3 of the Tiffany Aching and the Knack MacFeagle series. Tiffany is a 13-year-old witch who has protection from the Knack MacFeagles, who are about 10-inch-high blue Picts, or Pixies. For you remembering the Picts from the Scottish history segment I did a while ago, you'll remember that they used to paint themselves blue. These Picts are the fiercest of the fairies, and no one dare call them a fairy without expecting to be battered senseless. He does have a little bit of violence in his books, but fantasy violence, so it's no real. And, well, they're supposed to be Scottish. He doesn't actually say they're Scottish, but they speak in a very Scottish accent. And I'll commend Sir Terry upon his grasping of the Scottish accent in the series. He must know someone or several people with this accent, because you couldn't get it unless you were exposed hugely to it. There are also Scottish jokes in it there that really you only get if you've lived in Scotland for a time. And this is not to be exclusive to us. I'm sure everywhere has their own jokes and stuff about their TV or situations or lives. Anyway, back to the book and the point. Tiffany is still learning to be a witch when she's taken along to the dark Morris dance. Think English Morris dancing in May, which welcomes in the summer, la 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 la, around the maypole, la la la. Well, this is the same thing, but in autumn and quiet, which kind of welcomes, sort of if you can, the winter. Tiffany joins in the dark Morris dance, and she's not supposed to, but the elemental of winter, called the Wintersmith, gets obsessed with her because she does. He rejects the coming of the summer elemental and he tries to turn into human to love Tiffany for real. This obsession leads to him making snowflakes in her image, trillions of snowflakes in the spitting image of Tiffany Aching. Then he makes icebergs in her image and a ship crashes into one. Plus the wind and the fog and all the other rubbish cold weather we get in winter he does for her. Being human, albeit a witch human, Tiffany, along with the Knack MacFeagles, must stop him to let summer come back. And there I'm going to stop telling you about the story. I'll not spoil it anymore. But if you do like observational fantasy comedy, not all that serious, I totally, utterly recommend you get this book and any of the other Discworld books. I've read it and I'm wondering if it encouraged the Wintersmith. And then Colleen, who's the very lovely rabies on my shoe, asked me to read out a bit of the Knack MacFeagles. And I hope, Sir Terry, you won't mind. I have all your books, and I've requested my lovely listeners to get them from you too. But it was so classic, I can't resist. So, he learned to read and write, because Cheney had asked him to. He did them with a lot more optimism than accuracy, Billy knew. When he was faced with a long sentence, he tended to work out a few words and then have a great big guess. The art of reading is all about understanding what the words are trying to say, right? Says Rob. Aye, maybe, says Biggin. But there's any word there to tell us about the big wee hag is sweet on that heap of job he's doing in the stone castle. Ye have a very romantic nature, says Rob. And the answer is, I canna tell. They write some bits of their letters in them wee codies. That's a terrible thing to do to a reader. It's hard enough reading the normal words without somebody jumbling them all up. It'll be a bad lookout for us all if the big wee hag starts minding boys instead of getting the knowing of the haggling, says Biggin. Aye, but the boy will not be interested in marrying, said slightly mad Angus. He might be one day, said Billy Big Chin, who made a hobby of watching humans. Most big job men do get married. They do, said a fiddle in astonishment. Oh, aye. They want to get married. A lot of them do, aye, said Billy. So there's nae more drinking, stealing and fighting? Hey, I'm still allowed to do some drinking and stealing and fighting, said Rob Anybody. Aye, Rob, but we can't help noticing you also have to do the explaining in, too, said Daft Wally. There was a general nodding from the crowd. To Feagles, explaining was a dark art. It was just so hard. Like, when we came back from drinking, stealing and fighting, Jeannie gives you the pursing of the lips, Daft Wally went on. A moan went up from the Feagles. Oh, save us from the pursing of the lips. And then there's the folding of the arms, said Wally, because he was even scaring himself. Oh, Willy, 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 the folding of the arms, the Feagles cried, tearing at their hair. Not to mention the tapping of the feet. Wally stopped, not wanting to mention the tapping of the feet. Ah, not the tapping of the feet. Some of the Feagles started to bang their heads on the tree. Aye, aye, but, said Robin Anybody, desperately, what used in a cane is that this is part of the headlands of husbandry. Feagles looked at one another. There was silence, except for the creak of a small tree as it fell over. We never heard of any such thing, Rob, said Biggin. Well, I'm no surprised. Who tell ye? Ye aren't married. Ye dinna get the poetic symmetry o' the whole thing. Gather round till I tell ye. Rob looked around to see if anyone, apart from about 500 Feagles, was watching him, went on. See, first ye get the drinking and the fighting and the stealing, okay? And when ye get back to the mound, it's time for the tapping o' the feet. Ooh. And the folding o' the arms. Ah. And of course, the pursing of the lips. The wee scunners knock it off with a groaning before I start banging heads together, right? All the Feagles fell silent, except for one. Oh, Willy, 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 oh, the person know that... They stopped and looked around in embarrassment. Daft Wally, said Rob Anybody with icy patience. Aye, Rob. You ken, I told ye there was times you should listen to what I was saying. Aye, Rob. That was one of them times. Daft Wally hung his head. Sorry, Rob. Aye, now, where was I? Oh, aye, we get the lips and the arms and the feet. Okay, and then... It's time for the explaining, said Daft Wally. Aye, snapped Rob Anybody. Anyone who used muddling want to be the one who dares to do the explaining in? He looked around. The Feagles shuffled backwards. With a killed a person and a fooling and a tapping, Rob went on in a voice of doom. And that look in her bony eye that says, this explanation had better be really good. Well, do ye? By now the Feagles were crying and chewing the edges of their kilts in terror. No, Rob, they murmured. No, aye, said Rob Anybody triumphantly. You wouldn't. That's because you don't have the knowing of the husbandry. I heard Jeannie say ye came up with explanations no other Feagles in the world would try, said Daft Wally admiringly. Aye, that's quite likely, said Rob, swelling with pride. And Feagles have got a fine tradition of huge explanations. She said some of your explaining in is so long and twisty, by the time you've got to the end, she cannae recall how they started, Daft Wally went on. It's a natural gift. I wouldn't want to boast, said Rob, waving his hands modestly. I can't see big jobs being good at explaining in, said Big Yin. They're very slow thinkers. They still get wed, though, said Billy Big Chin. For the rest of the book, you really have to go and buy it. It is wonderful, and that is me reading it out literally like it's written. I read this to my husband because I laughed. It's so true. The pursing of the lips, the tapping of the feet, the explaining. Moving on, they say that all snowflakes that have ever fallen in the world's history are different. Never mind the trillions of Tiffany Aikens, but do you find this amazing? All those millions of wee flakes fluttering down to earth, each being different to his pal fluttering with him. But then, you think about people, and we're all different, so I suppose it's okay. Graph-wise, we all made cut-up snowflakes when we were little, some out of newspapers, some out of white paper. Some, it was all you had to decorate the house at Christmas, and others, just to make a mess on the kitchen floor. But remember, how much fun is it to get to play with scissors when you're little? Speaking of little, there's somebody thumping through that bedroom. Must be the bairn. Speaking of other little, my darling little Daisy is obsessed with Snow White. She has the dress-up outfit and the book. Santa took her a Snow White dolly for Christmas. We'll have some reservations of the social responsibility of Snow White's father, and then she slaves herself out to the seven dwarfs. I quite like the story. Can you remember all the dwarfs' names? Go on then, who are they? Answers at the end of the blather. Now, I don't like the snow. I know a lot of people do, and you hear everybody say, oh, wish it would snow. I don't like the snow. Because I wrote a car off once after hitting black ice, and I ended up upside down in a ditch facing the way I had come. Toyota Yaris crashed brilliantly. Neither me nor the hamster were harmed. So, I don't like the snow. I live in the country, and if I want to go anywhere, I have to drive pretty much, and I'm not so keen on driving in the snow, as you can understand. All hail the gritter drivers. Haha, pun there. They are heroes to me, except when they don't do it, that is. We can make the most of snow. Last year, I told you about how to do snow dyeing. Well, in a recent issue of Quilting Arts, they tell us that we don't have to wait for the white stuff, but instead we get the same kind of result from ice dyeing. What? The ice age? Get a grip, Louise. It's bad enough snow, never mind the ice. And aren't you all going on about global warming anyway? Calm down, dear, as the best Iggle Piggle impersonator David Cameron would say. Ice cube dyeing, I say. Get your tub, pre-soak your material in your soda ash, put it on the wire rack, then pile up the ice cubes, then put the Procyon powder on and let it melt. Ta-da! No blizzard conditions required. Finally, on the subject of snow, I was on Twitter and I follow the very lovely and talented Susan B. Anderson, you know, her of Spud and Chloe Flame, and she tweeted that there was snow sleet. And I replied, if I was saying in a Scottish accent, it would be, it's no sleet. Think about it. Did you remember all the dwarfs then? Happy, bashful, grumpy dog, don't be sleepy, and of course, sneezy. Now if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy laugh. Can you do some giggling?
Yeah.
A big Sandy hello to all new group members, and well, there's a few of you, so skip forward if you're not new.
Hello!
Vosk, Knitting Cathy, Shorty Sutures of Shorty Sutures, which I can barely say. She has a podcast, it's very wonderful, please go listen. Maeve, London Sam, who could be our tall, dark, handsome stranger. Constellation, Mimi D, Penchant for Yarn, which you kind of have to see in a French accent. Prophecy, Mema Knits, J.M. Allen, who actually knows Keister. I tried to introduce her, but she introduced her to me. Felt stupid then. Okay, Adapt's Cat, moving on. Chris B and K Fine Knits. I think I missed you a couple of weeks ago. Spinner Lady.
Hello.
Thanks for joining. I love the messages and your project. Feel free for more messages once I friend you, because I always wait for you to do it first, because I'm like that. Please, everyone, carry on putting up their projects. I love seeing what you're all up to, and the blathering is going on great. I don't always reply in the group, but I do read them all. The random hellos are to Gold Threads, Lisa LaFrata, Angela RWB, Can Knit with Keys, and Gingerbread Bunny. Hope you're feeling better soon.
Hello.
What's the crack section?
What's the e-crack section?
Now, you know how I don't like the phone? Wait, I listened to The Accidental Creative talking to Julian Smith, who wrote The Flinch, which you can get on Kindle for free. I don't have Kindle, but I have Kindle Reader. And it's brilliant. It dispels the fear that you get. It's a human thing. It's probably an animal thing. When you don't want to do something, and he completely dispels it. So I would totally and utterly recommend listening to this and then going and having a wee read of the book. Also, thank you for the lovely comments about the last couple of episodes. I hope you've all had a lovely holiday, as we did, and the Craft Fairy came to visit you too. I got a jumbo flyer with jumbo bobbin for my Ashford Joy spinning wheel. It's actually called a freedom flyer, but I kind of preferred the jumbo bit better, and I thought you'd understand it more. Santa got it from Scottish Fibres, which are based in Lothianburn. Now, They do have a very good range of stuff, and I've bought from them before, but I did wonder how I paid for first class, and it still took 6 days to be delivered. Even with Christmas post, I thought that was a bit unorky. Hubby did threaten to shoot Rudolph so we could have venison for dinner for a month, but Daisy protested and wanted him to shoot Santa instead. She quite likes Rudolph. However, Scottish fibres, it's worth a lookie. On Twitter, there have been a couple of knit chats on Saturdays at 4 p.m. GMT. Other time zones are available. It's a good opportunity to Twitter to other knitters. I go in and follow everyone I've not met before, and then I stalk them for a bit. It's a bit hectic sometimes, but it's good fun, and it's nice to talk to someone about something you love to do too. Even if you're just typing to them, obviously, because you're not literally talking to them, I do find it very interesting. And then this Sunday past at 4 p.m. GMT, other time zones are available, I'll stop that joke now, the very lovely Cheryl, hello Cheryl, of Bell of the Bulb podcast, mwah, mwah, hosted a spin chat, that's a personal joke that she'll get, and she's going to have it on the 2nd and the 4th Sunday of the month. The topic was about which breed of sheep was local to you. I was amazed that some had never seen Jacob or Hebrideans, but then I'd never heard of most of their sheep, so I suppose it's kind of normal. And Jill from the lovely Sandy Spinners was partaking too, and they loved her, which was obviously understandable. And Sandy Spinners are having a sock along project, which is worth having a look at too. Has everyone seen the newest pattern from Katie Davis of Owl's fame? She has designed a lap blanket called Rams and Yows. It's beautiful. It's not something I'm going to cue, but go look at it and tell me if you make it. Wow, is what I would say. It's a lap blanket with fair isle wee sheepies knitted in the round and then steeped. Knitted in the round and then steeped. Yeah, that's why not to be cueing it, never mind making it. But never say never, eh? I also had a look in my queue. It's kind of long, but yeah, it's good to dream. Speaking of dreaming, the Olympics, we've got less than 200 days to go now. And have you heard of the Project Woolsack, where the challenge is to make a cushion for every single athlete in the Olympics and then the Paralympic Games? That's some challenge, but one us brick crafters are picking up. If there's any left over, they are then being donated to various rest homes and people in need, so not one cushion will go to waste. If you go to www.woolsack.org, you will find all the information you need. Also, listen to Nick from Yarns of the Plains Woolsack episode and possibly the Knit Spin Cakes podcast, because she was getting interviewed about it by a magazine. So that's quite an interesting, quite an exciting project as well. And you know that I'm into the Olympics this year. I know the price is going on and on and on and on and on, and everybody's like, oh, shut up. But when it's here, it's going to be really exciting and we'll all get into it, and it'll be a feel-good factor, providing nothing goes wrong. And I'm just looking forward to the feel-good factor. Just a mention of the musician singer Birdie. Whilst I was writing this, I heard the advert for Great British Drama, I think it's on BBC Two just now, and they were using one of her songs. But I love her singing Skinny Love, and I just watched the video for People Help the People. It's a lovely video of London in black and white. And the line, if you're homesick, give me your hand and I'll hold it. Hobby liked that line, I like that too. Although, she did look like she'd come out in her nightie in that video. Put some clothes on, lassie, you'll catch your death. The next episode, you're all invited, well, you're coming whether you like it or not, to the second annual Caithness Craft Collective Burns Supper. And we're going to celebrate Scotland's national bard, eat haggis, drink, have another party. Emphasis on the party part. I recommend you all look at www.haggishunt.scotsman.com to see if you can spot the wee haggis who gets quite elusive around this time of year because of fear of being shot. You cannot blame them. Plus, you could win a fancy round of golf at St Andrews. So, wombat knitter, get your dad entering. Now, the sound is slightly different now on account of I had recorded the whole thing and I went to save it as MP3 and my computer crashed. So, decamped into the kitchen. Now on to the Crafting Chamber of Commerce with the review of Art Yarn by Luca.Yarn. Art Yarn, you say? What is Art Yarn? Well, go check out Luca.Yarn's Etsy shop where she sells it. She's very kindly sent me about 42 yards of some a few months ago. If you go look at my project pages, you'll see the very lovely Daisy modelling it in a wee Lyra hat. I think it's hilarious. I mean this in a fun way, so for you with not my sense of humour, understand I'm not poking fun at it. I think it is fun. And it makes me laugh and lots of other people laugh. And I actually told Claire from Luca.yarn before I put this in. And she said it was okay. And it's not difficult to knit with, prior to what you may wonder. The stuff I had big knobbly bits and thin bits in between. So it was kind of like using the pom-pom yarn where you knit the thin bits and you manipulate the knobbly bits. I had said this before, and I had said, manipulate the nibbly bits. So some of the yarns have shells and objects spun into it, and you wouldn't really be able to use this as a garment for washing, say. But that is why it's art, baby. Art is for its own sake, no other purpose. So, here is Claire from Luca.yarn. Well, it's me, really, I'm just asked her questions. I asked her, what is art yarn? And she said, it's not novelty. Hopefully this style of yarn will always remain in the category of actual handspun. I think playing around with the tension while drafting the fibre has a lot to do with making an active and vibrant yarn. But then there's the manipulation of plying and looping and coiling and adding stuff into the base yarn. My main resources for learning this style are Plucky Fluff, Lexi Boyager, and J.C. Boggs via books and DVD respectively. I asked her, why do you love it so as you sell it now? And she said, as of September 11th, I sell my handspun through my brick and mortar shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and through Etsy. I started spinning on a drop spindle and continued on for 9 months before trying a wheel. I ended up selecting the Lendrum Complete after savouring Lexi's intertwined book and decided that this was the direction for me. Not only are both spinners' yarns amazing and whimsical, but their finished knitted, crocheted, felted, woven items called out to me. I asked her, what's your bit of advice for people wanting to make art yarn? She said, my advice for a beginner art yarn spinner is do not begin with merino. Use Blue Fleece Leicester as it drafts way, with loads of ease, way easier. Watch someone else spin this stuff and make sure that you use a large orifice to push stuff through. Start spinning thick and thin and then pick up another colour of fibre and add this to the yarn while spinning and let it kind of pile up. Voila! Art yarn. Note, I was given a large bag of the beast, a blended roving of all types of sheep wool, and I practiced with this to test out various spinning techniques at the very beginning. I used to have a car called the beast. I then asked her, what do you recommend using it for? She said, uses. A lot of my art yarn sold as instant scarves, but I preferred it to be knitted or crocheted into hats, gloves, scarves, cowls, or to be used on a trim on a lovely project. Lynn Vogel has created a few patterns for my yarns, and she's on Etsy and Ravelry. I also thought it could be used with commercial yarn as a textural addition. You must be brave though and understand that combining two different weights of yarn takes a lot of effort. And then I asked her, what's your favourite thing that you've made with it? She said, my favourite item has to be the ridiculously cute hat in my project tab on Ravelry. It's a variety of colours, textures and has hand-felted balls here and there. Unfortunately, I sold this to a lady who had to have it. I wish I hadn't, as my daughter and I spun this yarn together. I think that once I was taught how to ply, I'm not much of a knitter so I didn't and don't know much about yarn, I loved spinning a thick yarn, then spinning a thin lace weight, then spinning these two lovelies together. And oh yes, the name Luca.yarn is based on my dog's name, Luca Dot. She has polka dots. She's the reason why I learned how to spin, as she's a herding breed that I rescued off the road as a puppy. I thought I could get a sheep for her to be busy with, and I could gain some fleece. No sheepies as yet, but tis in the works. And the name Luca is based on the Italian city. I get caught in the romance of this area, but my people originally hail from two Italian towns in the Abruzzi, sorry for my pronunciation, region, not exactly well-known areas. So that's Luca.yarn on Etsy. So go there and bye bye bye. And the very lovely Claire has donated a gift for you lovely listeners. How lovely is that? With lots of lovelies. She has donated a pack and it's some art yarn, and she has decided to offer a pattern, and it's in a package and it's for the long outdoor opera gloves. Very nice. And it comes with some commercial yarn and the art yarn comes with the package. The idea is so that it brings her art yarn within reach of the recipient. Please put your comment on after the Ravelry group on this episode 47, and just state that you would like to be included, or send me a message on the usual email address, keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com, or even leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. Thank you very much. Isn't that lovely? Thanks, Claire. And all the best to whoever wins. Also, to say in the Crafting Chamber of Commerce, thank you to all those that looked at the lost button on Etsy. Elizabeth, I saw her at Christmas time and she was saying that people had been looking and some people had been buying. So thank you to you. Please carry on looking there. And for everybody else I've mentioned in the Crafting Chamber of Commerce. If you would like to be in the Crafting Chamber of Commerce, or even if you'd like me to review your yarn, or give it away as a prize, I'm more than happy to facilitate this. Just put me a message and I'll get it organised. Now for the Mimi Me Show.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me!
Because it's all about me. Now I made Daisy the aforementioned hat. It was a mini version of the Lyra's Svalbard hat that I made for me with my handspun, which I have decided to take out and start make it into something else. Various reasons. For Daisy's hat, I shortened the rows a bit and kept trying it on her just to see if it fitted, and she was quite delighted, so she took ownership of it. Then I decided to crochet the dangly tie bits instead of using the I-cord method to see how it crocheted, because I was reviewing it, which was fine. Just the same as knitting, you just manipulate the nibbly bits, or you manipulate the nibbly bits. Hubby says it looked like parrot puke, but he means it in a nice way, and I think it's a wonderful description. Parrot puke from the film Rio, or Angry Birds Rio, is exactly the colours I think that's in it, because there's these chunky bits that I've pulled through to the top of the hat, and it's lovely, soft, bright colours. Soft, bright? I know what I mean. Go look at the photograph, you'll know too. And she was so excited to go back to nursery after the holidays, and this little parrot puke hat was run rapid across the playground with these two little leggies bundling along, and it was just giggling away her. And I've managed to get through at least 15 minutes before, probably more than that, I tell you that I finished the pie shawl. Shout it from the rooftops. I've tried to get it done before New Year, but no, I got it done on the 4th of January. I sort of blocked it. It was too big for my blocking board, so I got a wet tea towel and squished it. Hubby looked and says, "What are you doing?" And I says, "I'm blocking my shawl. It needs squished." "And how obvious is that? How do you not know these, what I'm doing?" And he just muttered and went back to what he was doing. And I am sorry, I moaned. "I am so sorry. It's done now. I was so sick of the sight of it stage. And you've all been there, so you'll understand." But from a bag that I got from the Blythewood charity shop of Shetland type yarn, because that's what was written on it, and I dyed it myself, and it was for £3. I think I did no bad. And I've been using it around the house, and I'm very pleased with it now. And it's what I wanted, but I'll tell you what, I'm not making another one anytime soon. Certainly not with that pattern. And I know you'll love Elizabeth Zimmerman, but I struggled with her instructions. I love the book. I love the narration, our imagination. I love the finished product. I just don't love the instructions. So, thank goodness for the internet and everybody else that's done one, because then I can ask questions left, right and centre. So I will make her patterns again, just with a bit of help. Thank you again to Lace Maven for the book. It is now very safely stored back on the shelf until the next time I venture in. And also Elizabeth Zimmerman plans of a baby surprise jacket for my sister-in-law, who is due on the Queen's Jubilee Day. Now I am knitting, and not too far off finishing actually, the shawl collar vest by Jennifer Miller. And I'm using some chunky yarn I got from Tate & Style in Orkney last year. Oh, sorry, no, the year before. That's a bit sad when you realise how long you've had some wool. Anyway, it's all ribbed, and it's a fast knit compared to the pie shawl. I actually unleashed quite a lot of work once I got rid of the pie shawl, and I've going to pick up quite a few little projects I think for just now, and I'm planning on socks too, just plain socks, to learn how to do them, because I've never made any before. And I'm thinking, well, I can do it in the round because I've made hats and I've made gloves, So the heel thing and the toe thing, it'll be fine. Just do it my way. But I was had cast them on, and then I realised I wasn't doing 4-ply. I had 3-ply, and I was using DPNs, and one of them was sitting on my lap, and I looked down and went, "Where's it? Where'd that come from?" Oh, and the empty stitches were in my hand. So just ripped it all out because I'd only done 2 lines, and I did more research. So I just want to make a plain sock, which I will do. Train has also sent me some merino and a purple colourway called Garnet, which I had started to spin it before Christmas, but really it wasn't going very well, so I put it away for quite a bit. So I went back to it last week and split it all out this time instead of trying to spin it off it, and very much enjoyed it and plied it up, and it's come out fat. That's Louise's technical definition, fat. I had it as 5 wraps per inch, which is for you non-spinny types, is where you wrap your wool around a ruler that has inch measurements on it, and you see how many times it goes in within 1 inch. That tells you then what weight your yarn is. Mine's is 5 and 6 if I squished it. With it, I am going to make the Chunky Mochi Neck Cozy by Susan Drudy, if you want to look it up. I haven't started it yet. I'm going to finish this shawl-coloured vest first. Also, Trina and I are going to do a knit-along together that everyone is more than welcome to join in. We are going to make the Damson Shawl by Isolde Teague starting on the 1st of February 2012. Now remember, I am a slow knitter, so you'll be more than welcome to join in any time from now, next year, doesn't matter, might be finished. And lots of you have actually already made this, so please chip in if you've got any good advice. Trine is busy spinning up her fingering weight. Yeah. I've not yet decided what I'm going to use. Now, I did stick my head in alpaca to see if I was allergic to it or maybe just imagining it. And I'm pleased to say, no, I'm not. And it is divine to spin. This was from Knitter Scarlet last year, from her Etsy shop. Can you mind I bought it when I was a wee bit tipsy because she'd called it Sandy Beach after my suggestion? And then I was too fear to touch it because I had been needle felting with some brown alpaca from somewhere else. And something was making my nose twitch, and I thought, oh no, maybe I'm allergic to alpaca and I've just bought some. This is not good. So, plus it was too pretty, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. So I put it away, occasionally looked at it, and it's soft and it's spun lovely. The colours are saturated through. Plus, this is coming into this spin down idea that Belle of the Ball was talking about. You do 20 minutes of your spinning, then you have a 10 minutes off, and then you do another 20 minutes. Which means our bodies have a nice little break and we don't overdo it. But then we lash through what we've got. Because her friend had realised how much fibre she had and how much she had to do, and she got into a bit of a tiz. So between them they decided to do this 20-10-20 thing, where it's particularly good for if you're quilting or you've got something on the needles and you can go do your 20 minutes, walk away for 10, and then come back. You don't have to do it all in one sitting. You can do some in the morning. You could do this all day if you want. But it just means that you do a bit. And 20 minutes is not a big commitment. And if you think you can't do that, have a look at your time management. Because you can. So that's a really good suggestion. And then she says Twitter about it afterwards. Tells everybody that you've done it. And it's a good sort of cheering thing. Because we get our pom-poms out and do our cheer. So I've always wanted pom-poms. When I was little, I wanted American pom-poms. Stares wistfully into the distance, pretending she was 9 again. Anyway, back to textile artist that I had yesterday. It was inspirational, to say the very least. Celia had along a DVD called In Action by Jan Beeney and Jean Littlewood. I utterly recommend this, just like I utterly recommend Look A Dot Yarn, and I utterly recommend Terry Pratchett. This is an utterly recommending podcast today. This DVD pairs with the Stitchscape book, which are both published by Double Trouble. Now, you can all do these techniques now that are in this DVD because you've heard me talk about most of them. And this DVD takes you up to the next level of the techniques. It's wow. We all sat there and went, we've got that. We've done this. We can do this. And then we all went, let's do it, instead of just thinking about it. So it's all techniques that we've done, mostly, or have heard about, but their teaching on the DVD is clear, concise, easy to follow, very inspirational. It just made you want to get your paints out, They weren't making too much mess. We were looking at their irons. She had a Philips Diva iron, I want one of them. And there was expert teaching. The ideas were endless. The DVD was just stupendous. And you could see how they've done their sitting girls, because you do a practice, so you're different stitches on squares. And even that exercise is just wonderful. They do the stuff that we've kind of done before, but in different in a very lovely way. So the book doesn't go into the same detail as the DVD. I would recommend getting the DVD if you had to get one or the other. DVD first. And you get that from their website. Whilst I was watching this, I sewed some beads onto the other felted brooches I had made before Christmas, albeit I didn't take the one I was meaning to take because I had put it in a safe place, and I had also forgotten my small bead needles. However, I did some sewing, and then I went and dyed some prosein dyeing of material. I had a bit of a tidy up upstairs, and the cot bed is no longer used, so the cot bed sheets are no longer required, and they were cotton, and there was all these muslin squares I found, and I thought, oh, I'm going to use that. So Joan says to me, what are you dyeing? And I says, well, this one's sky because I don't have much light, this one's grass because it's got nice texture, and this one's just orange sunshine in a bag. Blue, green and orange. Oh, and also in that DVD, before I forget, they had the most wonderful stand to hold your frame for embroidery. It's called a Lowry stand, and it's aluminium. It's not cheap, but it looked fantastic. So have a wee look at that if you're in the realms of looking for one of them. That was me.
The drams.
So on to the drams now, where we have special guest stars Al and Sarah, along with Richard and I. The sound is not so great, so I'm warning you now, due to it being recorded onto husband's BlackBerry, which, geek alert, does not record MP3, but EPRs, I think it is. So bear with me on the sound. The drams is there, and the giggles are there. The significance of the name of the dram, Glen Oren, this episode, is because Sarah's wee boy is called Oren. And no, it's not his whiskey. He's 5. It's a place in Scotland.
Hello, we're opening a Glen Oren, spelled with 2 R's, a blended malt Scotch whiskey from the Muir of Ord Distillery. And listen to this. It's not a cork, it's a screw top. It's from Aldi, and it's 40% product of Scotland, and we're talking, what colour is that?
Weak tea. Oh, I'd say that was straw that's had a sheep on it for about a week.
Well, that's a good colour. Yeah. Actually, I should have said, we've got Sarah and Al doing a special whiskey tasting with us. Say hello.
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 Definitely somebody looking after children.
Yes. So now we're going to pour it, listen to the glug, because that's important. These little peaty glasses are very cute. That's mine. Well, here I've got back into the glasses, I think that was good. Right, so then we take a sniff and describe what you sniff, and don't just say whiskey.
Getting a bit of apples here as well.
No, I can't describe it, I just say it smells different.
It's not as sweet as it is at the bottle. Apples and pears, apples and pears.
It's not like a...
But that might be because we're standing beside the stairs.
It's not like a strong necklace.
I'm putting it up the glass like we took with the Highland Park and letting it run down.
Is it running down like a good...
Ah, yeah,
it's kind of like not too dehydrated pea colour.
I was always trying to avoid the dehydrated pea colour. Because that's what it all looks like.
I get
like
a alright, come on, can I drink it now?
No, it's sweet, a wee, a refreshing.
We've done the sniff and we've done the round glass. So then we have a... That's quite burning.
Quite revolting.
Oh, we don't have any water in it.
You don't do the first one anyway.
I do. Can I put in the second one?
Yeah.
Because this gets rid of a lot of the alcohol.
Maybe it'll be fine by the bottom of
the bottle. That lowers the alcohol content, the power of
the ginger beer.
At the back
of my mouth, it's quite burny. What do you think, Richard?
I would akin that to the whiskey equivalent of maybe Buckfast. Mad Dog 2020. Thunderbirds, that push.
It's, yeah. I can't take the purple.
You can run a tractor off it.
You put the sugar in it, it'll take the cake.
Yeah,
thank
you. It doesn't take purple.
You can make toddies out of it.
I think I'll stick somewhere else.
Yeah. It's a good toddy recipe, then.
I think it'd be the alternative diet hot toddy where you put in the hot water, the sugar and the honey and forget to put the whiskey in.
I never
said
sugar.
Well, no, it's not very highly recommended, is what I
think. Yeah, it's not highly recommended, but if somebody gives you it as a gift...
It can't all be winners.
Exactly.
It doesn't have the best name of any whiskey, then.
It doesn't matter. Glenorren. Cheers to Glenorren.
Cheers.
The blah 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 session.
Blah 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 bit. And that is me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that you're all in good health, and if not, good fiddle. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes, and thank you for all the reviews. I had a good look at them all today in most of the countries. Apart from you, Australia, you're not getting any gin. I very much appreciate get the iTunes reviews. I know I say I don't really look at them very often, but they bump it up, and hopefully other people can find them, because there are people that do look for craft podcasts in iTunes occasionally, you know. I was one of them once. You can email me on keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I recommend that because I like your messages. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt. You can join the Keithness Craft Collective group in there too. And I'll go on to Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for all stitchy things. And Twitter, Keithness Craft. The music is Snow by the band Comfortable from musicalley.com, where you can go buy it. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.